cliffcentral.com.
Ah, yeah. So, CEO was telling us yesterday, well, he was telling Ben and everybody at the table, that break-in that they had at the church over Easter where they stole the TV. Apparently, you've heard the story, right? Apparently, some dude came in to, assess the damage and the insurance and whatever, and he took a gigantic shit in your house.
Like, I was pissed off.
What is up with people who do that?
So pissed off.
So he just came in and he apparently took an enormous,
yes,
steamy,
oh,
heavy, filling the bowl to the brim, great big splashing water dump.
Beautifully so. It was one of the people from the security company. So he asked, you know, sorry, where's the toilet? And I think maybe he's going to follow up and say something along the lines of, you know, statistics show that intruders use the toilet to enter or something. So we gladly show him where the toilet is and he goes through. The guy does not come back for like a good 15 minutes and it doesn't take a scientist.
You're thinking he's doing an inspection, right?
Oh, no. By the first like 5 minutes of silence, we understood exactly what was going on.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all?
In that case,
you niggas are crazy.
Is it because you can't wait any longer as that guy and you really just need to find a bowl to sit on? Or is it just like,
it's inexcusable.
I don't understand.
What do you do the whole night when especially you were late coming to us? So you're telling me you couldn't find a toilet anywhere else? Anywhere else?
It drives me crazy that people need to do that. You know, I've got a rule in my house, and it's strictly enforced.
Oh? You
know, no one's meant to take a dump in anyone else's house. There's no reason, unless you're spending like a week at someone's house.
A week?
Yeah, but I mean, look, let me tell you something.
You've got like a 5-day threshold. Okay, go.
If I go away, look, it's been a long time now since I've gone away with anyone for a weekend or whatever. Okay, but if I go away with some girl for a weekend, maybe a girl I'm dating, maybe a girl I've just started saying hi to and I still want to impress her, whatever the case may be, you will never find me. If we go away for a weekend at a hotel or something, I will not use our bathroom in the hotel room.
For that purpose?
No, I will go and use the one in the lobby or at the pool or wherever.
They're always the stinkiest because every guy's doing that.
Well, I don't care about that because I don't want to do that in front. I just don't believe you ever need to do that kind of thing near anyone else.
No, but the worst is with
so undignified
with these new sort of European layouts. It's like there's sometimes not even a wall between the bodger and
now that's disgusting. I think architects who build bedrooms where the bog is open to the rest of your room. I mean, who wants to have that wafting through your bedroom? Am I right?
No, I agree.
Totally romantic.
And I don't care how petite and feminine and delicate you are. A dump is a dump. It's never pleasant.
No, well, I mean, that's why we don't even fart in front of you people.
Well, exactly.
If we can help it, you will never have to experience that. It's just the most embarrassing thing. Although guys think it's funny to fart in front of their girlfriends.
We do. And in front of each other. Up to a certain age. I mean, you won't find me doing that anymore. I don't know. Yeah, I just... why would someone go into Sia's house and do that? Especially if he's just from the security company. He's there for what? Altogether half an hour?
You really couldn't have held it in.
Yeah, you couldn't have waited.
But like when he walked out, was he, you know, did he look a bit shameful? Was he okay with
himself? No, actually, he just
owned it, huh?
As soon as he had used the loo, he was like, okay, cool, we can wrap this up. Like, time to
That's what he came there for.
On to the next one. Doesn't work like that, guy.
It's just, it's so bizarre, huh?
But isn't it also just the most uncomfortable thing in the world to do a number two in someone else's bathroom?
But that's what I don't get.
I just feel very uncomfortable.
Right.
You don't need to do it. It's not ideal. You don't want to go. Look, I'm going around to David's house later because I want to take a big poo.
And then
it's
people,
not natural, yeah.
No,
yeah.
And then people say to me, "Oh, but what if you're really sick or you?" Then you shouldn't be going anywhere.
Stay at home.
Stay at home. I mean, really.
See, because maybe I'm overthinking things. But what if you just found out that we have low water pressure?
Yeah.
And now he can't flush.
Well, you know, I mean, in my parents' house, there used to be this. They would do these kind of big parties or whatever, and then they'd have 100 people at their house or whatever, and invariably someone would block up the bug. You don't need to do, why would you want to be the person who, because the guy in question, we all knew his name, we all knew who he was, and forevermore he became the guy, I named that lavatory in the house after him. Because he blocked it up. Now, who'd want to be known for that? I ask you with tears in my eyes. Who wants to be famous for that? Oh, what can I tell you? There's quite a lot to talk about this morning. What's up, Flax?
There's a woman, her name's Michaela. She's from Toronto. So She went on a date. She's very attractive. She went on a date with this dude, first date. He asks her back to the house. She goes. Then she needs a poo. So she goes to the bathroom. And she makes
Is it
her,
at his house?
Yeah, at his house. She makes her poo and the toilet doesn't flush. So what she does is she picks up the log and she puts it in her handbag.
Oh,
and then
yes.
She posts this about this on social media and it went viral.
Why would anyone do that?
I'm going to try to find...
This is, you know, this is where I say to people often. They'll go, I want to be famous. It's so easy to be famous. Just... take a dump, pick it up with some toilet tissue, and put it in your bag and put that on social media. I promise you, you'll be famous for all the wrong reasons.
It's disgusting.
Being famous is not hard. I've always said you just set your hair on fire on a TV talk show while no one's looking. You better believe those cameras will zoom in on you and watch your hair on fire. But it won't be the best way for you to become well known.
So just getting back to the thought process of putting a log in your bag.
I mean, it's just awful, isn't it?
Because she would have probably covered up in toilet paper, okay? So that's not going to insulate any smell whatsoever.
No. In other words, he's going to think, what's that funny smell as he's kissing her goodbye? You know, better to rather leave a stinky bog behind you than to carry your log out in a... it's just so revolting.
Or throw out the window and blame someone.
Now, the thing is...
It's like she wants to be known as the shitter.
She put this all on Twitter, and she's a very good-looking girl. But like the way she chronicles all of this is absolutely hilarious. Because the thing is, she realized afterwards that, you know, the toilet doesn't necessarily, you know, flush well. So now she's frantic. It doesn't know what to do.
What a gigantic log it would have been for such a small little lady.
Really? But do people do that? They just go for one log?
Oh, well.
Imagine if we were that easy as humans, that we literally, it was one log a time.
No.
Log a day.
You'd have to shit every 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
What a horrible way to wake up, I've got to say.
Yeah, now I realize.
Right, we've spent like 10 minutes talking about this. It's disgusting. Okay, let's move on. There's other stuff to get into. I saw a story on the news this morning when I woke up. I could not believe my eyes. Some Russian oligarch... Have you seen this story?
I'm looking at pictures of, I think, of the story that you're about to talk about.
Yeah, a multi-million pound wedding. Performances by J-Lo, Sting, Enrique Iglesias, an 18,000 pound haute couture gown, and a fleet of Rolls Royces. And he's some Kazakh billionaire.
Ugh.
I mean...
Yeah, because his son got married.
It's like $1 billion wedding. It's like $1 billion. And trust me, he looks like every other guy in a tux. Nothing special going on there. The reception has these incredible lights and flower arrangements like you can't believe. I mean, the place looks like a garden indoors. There are gardens It looks like it's being held in the most beautiful outdoor amphitheater you've ever seen in your life, with these incredible lights. Even the light fittings have flowers on them. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Wow, you imagine landing that gig as a event planner, wedding coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to pay really well, but I imagine it's quite a lot of work. J-Lo, who will do anything for money, does the entertainment. Enrique Iglesias does the entertainment. He'll also do anything for money. Hideous. It's just hideous. The whole thing is so tacky and nouveau riche and revolting. And apparently, he is a Muslim born in the Caucasus who's thought to be about $6.2 billion worth. So he's gone and blown one-fifth of his fortune
on his son's wedding.
Well done, genius. We'll be seeing you soon on the pages of some magazine where you've got no money left. I wouldn't be surprised. Unbelievable. $6.2 billion is what he's worth. And he's just spent $1 billion on his son's wedding. Some people are just ridiculous. Huh?
It's also, look, it's nice to have that kind of stuff. But don't you think it's also, it's about him. It's not about the couple then.
Of course it is. It's about him showing off his money.
He's making all about him.
Right.
It's like top billing weddings.
I'd go to what a top. Really about? You know what we should do? We should go to a top billing wedding and take a log out of the toilet with toilet paper and run around.
Just walk around with it like a pet.
And then as Genie D comes up to interview you, just hold it in your hand.
Oh my gosh! I forgot to tell you. While we were away last week, Daniel and I got some room service in the hotel room.
Oh yeah.
And we're just flicking through the channels.
Yeah.
And there was a full on, I think, hour long special on Genie D's greatest top billing moments.
Oh, wow. It must have been.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen on TV.
That must have been horrible.
They were literally interviewing her, and then she was just reminiscing about all the guests that she's interviewed, all the places that she's been. It was quite something.
Yeah, it does amaze me that show still has an audience at all. It amazes me. Not because it's a horrible show or it's badly produced. It's just so irrelevant. It's like, for most people in this country, that show is like this billionaire's wedding. It's just something that they will... I don't understand how people can watch that stuff. If you're a normal, hardworking person and you've got a family to worry about, or you've got bills to pay or anything else, you have no business watching top billing. You know what I mean? And there are real serious issues. Nothing ever happens in top billing land.
But it's because
always good.
But it's because of all these serious issues that everyone needs this.
Yeah, but then rather watch a soap opera, because I mean, that's complete fiction. But this is like half fiction, because those houses that they give you a tour of. I mean, these are some of the worst looking houses I've ever seen on the inside. I don't care what they're worth; they look horrendous. And you got these people swanning around, these presenters, who, by the way, they don't earn a lot of money. I know this for a fact because they once sent me to Los Angeles to interview a bunch of people in movie junkets. And I think they barely covered my taxi money to and from these movie premieres. So they're cheap as shit. And it's just a nonsense show. Like, most of those people who say they live in those houses don't even live in those houses. It's like Cribs, you know, when they found out that Cribs was all just made up. That basically these music people would go and they'd for the day, they'd hire some real billionaire's house and make it look like it was theirs. Remember?
I think these days they have, what is it, teen Cribs or something?
Oh, yeah, everything. There's extreme Cribs, there's teen Cribs.
Cribs.
And the guy's like, let's go see my cars. Meanwhile, they just arrived that day. They're rentals. Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to leave that night.
You can almost see the guys who dropped them off with the clipboard to sign the waiver. It's still waiting in the garden.
So you got to return this. It's got to be back like Cinderella. The pumpkin has, it turns into pumpkin at 12 o'clock. So it has to be back by lunchtime.
Your hour is back. Your hour is up. Should I bring the Honda Civic back for you? No.
Oh, wow. Oh, by the way, our WeChat's working again. We were worried about that for the last 2 or 3 days. It wasn't working. So you can message us again on WeChat. You can also tweet us on Twitter, anything you like, directly from the CliffCentral.com app. Yep, everybody's doing it, and you should join in that party. We've also got... who's coming in today, Flex? Tell us about our guest. Let's do a little preview here. Flex is going to give us... This is what we'll do every morning, is he's going to tell us who our guest is and where they come from, just in case you don't already know, and then impress us with all the marvelous things that our guest will tell us, because he's already spoken to them. You know, he's the producer of the show, so he talks to these people. Give us an idea of what's coming up on the show this morning.
So, you know Puppet Nation from Zar News.
Never do it like an announcer. Today, live from Puppet Nation. Come on.
Today, live from Puppet Nation, we have Nkulu Subeko, and she is one of the writers for Zar News. So we go behind the scenes of those little puppets.
Okay. Very
that
nice.
Actually worked.
Yeah, we're going to do that every day. I've just decided. Yeah, she's quite an interesting woman. She also produced that perfect Sishebo show. Do you know that? Mm. And also played a minor role in Dineo's nanny in the second season of the SABC One drama series Society. She starred as Zanele in It's for Life on Mzansi Magic. And she was Dana Roberts in... City Sesla from 2005 to 2010. She's also one of the writers for Zar News, and behind the scenes she operates some of the puppets on Zar News. So it's going to be a short week. It's always weird. I mean, we discussed yesterday that there's one more public holiday weekend that's coming up. Well, it turns out that April 27th is a Wednesday, which means that we've got the Thursday and Friday for work, which no one will go to, of course. And then the Monday is off as well. The Monday's a public holiday after that, because that's May the 1st, which is also our birthday. Can you believe Cliff Central's turning 2 years old on the 1st of May?
Nice.
Yum.
Yeah, we've been here 2 years. A lot of people thought we wouldn't make it. You remember. See, there were lots of people in the beginning who were saying, this is going to be a flash in the pan. And give it
How
6 months.
How many articles did we read?
All these douchebags.
Speculations.
Yeah. A lot of fucking assholes who are in the media business who said, oh, this will never last. You watch, this will be a little fad. Gareth Cliff will be around for 6 months and the whole thing will fall down. They didn't realize at that point that we had a huge lineup of incredibly talented people who all had shows of their own as well. It had less and less to do with me the more you listened.
Because then we were broadcasting from your garage.
Well, I mean,
I think this is a bit of an upgrade.
Yeah, trust me, I thought about it from a cost-saving point of view, broadcasting from my garage. I just don't think Mubs would have been very happy broadcasting from a garage. You know, she does like a comfortable chair, and it's the least she deserves after all these years of putting up with me.
Also, my allergies, they wouldn't allow for a dusty environment.
And you live so far away.
Are you feeling these allergies at the moment? There's so much crap in the air, right?
I told you about my acne problem, where my foot basically looks like it's decaying, literally.
Your
off.
Foot? Oh. You have foot acne?
I have acne on my feet.
Good Lord, get her out of this room. How did that happen?
Well, the doctor says it's because I'm asthmatic. I'm basically allergic to 90% of the world. My sinuses are fucked every morning. I cough every now and again. My skin breaks out in all sorts of things. My eyes go itchy.
What are you allergic to? Is there a whole spectrum of stuff that you can't get near? Is it like grass seeds and things you can't avoid?
Yeah, I mean, the standard stuff that most people are allergic to. I once got tested as a child. I'm also allergic to cockroaches, apparently.
Cockroaches?
What? Yeah.
Well, we could use you as a test for whether or not people's houses are clean. We just send you in, and if you start sneezing, we go, oh my God, your house is infested.
Yeah, I'm really...
You're allergic to cockroaches?
Yes. It's bizarre, but they did say I'm allergic to almost everything.
Wow, that must be tough. I mean, that's why you have to carry that asthma pump around, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
Your
did
feet
not
break
know
out.
That.
That is revolting.
It looks disgusting, Gareth.
You can't wear open shoes, right?
Well, I am wearing open shoes, but you know, it's just... They're the kind of shoes that cover most of the disgusting stuff.
I'm frightened to say it, but... you know, show me your feet.
No.
Come on, Mom.
No.
I'm just a little. Just show you. Just stick your feet up above the counter there. Ah! Oh, my God. God. That's horrendous. Yes, Flax, what's up?
I don't know if you guys saw Jane yesterday, but her allergies got so bad that her face swelled up.
Jane, wow. She, Greg had to go off. Greg is our, what is he? The hub manager. He had to go off to the chemist and buy Jane some Allergex because she was all swollen up from some kind of allergy.
But why is everyone's allergies sparking now? What's happening?
Because it's the change of seasons. Whenever, you know, it goes from summer to autumn, and then from autumn to winter, and then winter to spring, you end up with these problems.
I thought it had something to do with, like, you got it from flowers and pollen and things like
that.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of stuff in the air at the moment.
Oh, okay.
You know, there usually is. In fact, there are a lot of insects around as well.
Yeah.
I was driving yesterday, and I just saw insects everywhere. It's like a... I mean, I don't want to sound dramatic, but it was like I was driving through a swarm. There's a lot of stuff going on. All right, here are a couple of messages. Just Me says Burger King released the Halloween burger that was black. It made people's poo green, so everyone was posting pics of their green poo. How disgusting.
Why?
Yeah, that is revolting. And then Tabo says, do you guys remember Stiffies that replaced floppies? Because remember we were talking yesterday about nostalgia and some of the things that we used to use. Ben found a picture. In fact, someone posted a picture on Twitter for him of a VCR with a remote control on a cord.
Yeah.
No, even better, it was a Betamax machine with a cord. Thanks, Nico. Wow. That was brilliant.
Wow, wow, wow.
It sort of looked like a big box with an Apple TV remote hooked on with a wire.
But the Apple TV remote had two enormous buttons that stuck out from the control. And one was a big play button and the other one was a big pause button. Right?
I think that, I think it was two, or there might have been a reverse, not rewind, a reverse and fast forward.
Yeah,
and
they didn't
forward.
Call it rewind, reverse
and forward.
Some of those things I'd never seen or heard, like that beta thing, never in my life.
Yeah, well, dude, you're how old now? 23.
I was probably born when they had the VCR just came out.
Yeah. What year were you born?
1992.
Wow.
I remember my first TV was a flat screen kind of TV.
So, yeah, you were born in?
95. I know, Michael, your first TV couldn't have been a flat screen TV.
No, it definitely was. I don't remember ever having a non-color TV, black and white TV.
No, okay, yeah, color's one thing, but then a box TV.
Do you
is
remember the black and white TVs with the bunny ears?
Yes.
I know now, that's before.
No, I never
time.
Had bunny ears.
And we used to watch that like it was something special. You could hardly see anything.
We used to have that TV in our bedroom as kids.
It didn't matter what show you were watching. It looked like it was snowing all the time. Yeah.
And then the big color TV would be in the TV room.
Yeah.
And then in the bedroom, you'd have the small black and white TV with the bunny ears. Wow.
Wow.
I remember my gran used to tell me you guys would wait at a blank screen for a certain time, and then only the TV would come on with a show, and then it'd go blank again after the show.
Oh, okay. Now, that was a long time before us even. That was like... That's why your gran told you this. And don't you ever put your gran and me in the same category again, all right?
Sorry.
So your gran is talking about a time when they would only have TV. There was a window of time where they would have television programming. So it would be from like 6 in the evening until midnight, and that was it.
She also told me there was a time where you'd watch the TV and you'd get the sound from the radio.
Oh, that was... simulcast.
Ben still does that with cricket sometimes.
They would play. I remember this. They would play a show like Beverly Hills 90210 on SABC 2, but then they would play it in Afrikaans. Damn it! And then you'd have to tune the radio so that you could listen to it in English.
Oh yeah,
but it was always so funny for the first couple of minutes where you're trying to tune it in and you heard the horrible Afrikaans voices for like Luke Perry,
right.
Now, why do they translate exactly? Was it because of...
No, they would play you the show, but then they'd have Afrikaans voiceovers so that you are watching it in Afrikaans.
Was it part of like the regime back then, or just the fact that I don't get the point of translating?
Listen.
And then it's horrible dramatization as well.
These days, you can get the whole show done original Afrikaans. Like there are these shows that are on CakeNet. I mean, you don't even know what's going on. If you stay on one channel, and this is why television is such an outdated concept, There are channels that I didn't even know existed, right?
Okay.
I mean, there are unbelievable channels like TBN, where they have pastors that all day, every day. Mm. Then there's like CakeNet. There's another CakeNet channel that I've never heard of. I can't even tell you what it's called. Yeah. And it's just like Afrikaans music, which would immediately give me cancer. And there are these soap operas that they produce for CakeNet. I swear you've never... Mubs, did you know there's a show called Villa Ruosa? And it's a big thing. Like, Afrikaans people watch it. Do you watch the African Magic Channel?
My dad.
I mean, that's bad.
My dad loves those movies.
Nollywood.
I have no idea why. I also have no idea why. But
my
he sits there and he watches that movie, and the movie's like 4 hours long.
Yes.
And he just watches the whole thing.
Then you think right when, okay, cool, she's about to leave because 4 hours later she's done. There's a part two of this movie. I'm like, no, you guys. The sound is horrible. They're always screaming. Yes.
And there's always the same storyline. Someone's cheating on someone. Mm-hmm. Someone's father wants them out. Mama. And the sound is awful. I don't know what do they do in those movies, but...
Anyways, girls, you see, this competition is very important to us. Very important. You know, if we win this competition, we will not just be $60,000 richer, but we will be the number one dance group on this campus and in this town.
Oh, wow. See, this is a great
Doesn't that
plus.
Sound good, girls? So we encourage you and other ones to put in your best so that we come on top.
Yes, I mean, this is an actual movie I'm playing you now. This is not...
It's like porn acting without the porn.
Yeah, it's very bad.
What I don't get is they'll sometimes be the weirdest, you know, twist in events. Like, for example, there. It's just a, you know, dance movie, seemingly. Next thing on campus, girl is murdered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it happens to be her uncle who raped her. It's
exactly.
Like, where does this come from?
The stories are outrageous. No, it's really, it's quite something. This is it. And they always have these... It's shot very badly, and like... the focus is always out, and... But people don't mind. I mean, if the story works, people will watch it, you know?
If I'm really bored, I'll just watch them and count how many times I can spot the crew or the microphone getting into the
That often
shot.
Happens. Oh, yes. But what I was trying to get at is that you've got all these channels on DSTV that most of us will never watch all of them. Okay, here we go. That's it.
Come in.
And you got to love the music.
How are you?
Fine.
I don't have any appointment today except one Miss Yvonne. Who must be you?
Yes, Yvonne, sir. Yvonne Martins.
Yes, fine girl. Come and sit down. Sit down.
Listen, you can hardly hear what he's saying because the sound's so bad.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
You're welcome. How's your auntie?
She's fine, sir.
Okay. I hope she did tell you about the job.
Yes, sir, she did.
Okay, so we have to start immediately.
Immediately.
Yes.
Just like that.
Well, we are qualified. Except you have other tankers.
Oh, no, not at all, sir. I didn't know it was going to be this easy.
I'm not that kind of person. I'm a good man. Your auntie didn't tell you.
It's about, basically, this guy is, he's a pimp. And he's hiring her as a prostitute, and that's the whole movie.
Now, what's interesting about all of this is that Nollywood is...
Huge.
It's the second largest movie industry in the world after Bollywood by volume. So Nollywood and Bollywood beat Hollywood in terms of volume.
Right.
So.
Well, we've worked out it costs about $10 to make one of these movies, so they'll make three a day.
Yeah. And they use the same actors and actresses over and over again, too.
I used to play soccer with these dudes who would get high all the time and watch that channel for hours. It was like their thing to do.
Yeah, that's funny. I am amazed, though. If you flip through the channels, you will find stuff that you didn't even know existed.
But apparently, you can also... I think you can subscribe to, if they're not there already, you'll get an Indian bouquet, then there's a Portuguese bouquet.
Yeah.
They're all these different
things.
Yes.
And if you've ever seen... You want to know about crap television. If you've ever seen what they make on Rai, the Italian channel, they have game shows with girls with big tits. All these girls do is they just walk out with signboards and they've got enormous, but you cannot believe the size of these girls' tits. And they come out onto the stage and go, and then some creepy old man goes, and then there's a word and you have to guess the word. And then the girl comes on and there are fireworks. It's all so stupid. It makes Nollywood look like A grade. Really. It's that bad. All right, when we come back in a second, Ben will give us the latest on everything that is going on in the world of sport. First, some words from Auto Trader, who, of course, bring you today's Auto Central show, as they do every single Wednesday. Everything you need to know about the world of motors. I mean motor cars. I mean motorbikes. I mean every vehicle that matters. And I mean with the biggest petrol heads you will find anywhere. George Meany and Chad Lukoff and our own Vilmar Janssen van Rensburg. She is the South African speed queen. Don't miss that show with Auto Trader. It's brought to you by Auto Trader. It's called Auto Central. Take a listen to it. If you've never tried it out before, it might be exactly what you've been looking for.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
All right, let's check in with Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Ben, what do you have for us for this morning?
Well, Gareth, as you know, it's the semi-final week in the ICC World T20.
Yes.
So all the teams didn't make the semis, they've gone home. Now, this has had mixed fortunes. Afghanistan have gone home like heroes because they won a game. Pakistan have gone home to shame. Shame.
Yeah, but literally, in Afghanistan, the smallest victory is worth celebrating.
Sure.
They don't have a lot to celebrate.
Exactly. But Pakistan, on the other hand, right, they've gone and people have been chanting shame, shame at the airport. Yeah.
That's horrible.
They've been shame-belled to death. And what makes it even worse is that these people are irate about what's going on, right? Now, this is in the wake of that Lahore bombing.
Shame.
Don't these people have the priorities in check? Like, they're getting really angry at cricketers because they didn't cricket well. And all these people just died from a bombing. But yes, they're taking out all their anger and frustration on these poor guys.
Well,
who just want to hit a ball.
Yeah, I still feel very bad about what happened in Pakistan. I don't really mind whether the victims were of X religion, Y religion, or Z religion. The fact is that it was religious nutcases who pulled this off.
Exactly.
And we should all stand against that.
A disaster, but these Pakistan cricket fans are just shame-belling everyone. Waqar Yunus feels that he must now step down because he's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not nice. Bigger also what's nice is the delusional prick, dickhead management people who draw a salary from Cricket South Africa. So you know that we're not very good at cricket, right? We're on the downward spiral.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. I mean, you can watch a game here and there and you'll work out that we're kind of on the way down. It's only one direction here. So Russell Domingo... this guy.
He's the coach,
right? He's still the coach. He was asked if he wants to continue coaching by some brain-dead journalist. I mean, these journalists ask such terrible questions. They really do. They ask such terrible questions like, what went wrong?
Yeah.
Or, how could we have been better? Like, ask better questions. Come on. Anyway, so someone asked, do you still want to coach this team? And obviously he says, yes, it's a great honor, a great privilege.
Well, here are his actual words.
But he came out of the sky. He's there. Watching over the crew.
Right. Thank you, Russell. At this point, they tried to shut him up.
Heading out the thing.
Yeah.
Riding the white horse. Picking up.
All right.
Sir Britton.
All right. Got you.
There.
And what about the batsman?
Watching over the thing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, no. The bowlers?
Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
So to give you a rough translation.
Hang on, he's not finished.
Who is?
All right.
And tweetings and.
Yeah, okay. I got all of that. How about you?
Mikey.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you. There's the cricket coach.
Elemental.
All right.
That's
Very good. We got to go. There we go. There's Russell Domingo, everybody.
Okay, so rough translation, basically, Russell says they didn't play the big moments well, but he believes that the team is a happy group because that's what he sees from the outset. This guy's always talking about like he's some super fan in the background. He's never talking about a coach who's in charge of things. And this is what really gets my goat. And then, he was saying how, you know, the protest management is as good as any in the world and that Charles Langeveld has done such a great job upskilling the bowlers.
Okay, guys, reality check. You're a bunch of losers. You keep losing. You don't seem to have any idea of where to go from here. And I am actually amazed that there are companies that sponsor you. I got a list yesterday from Ben of the companies that sponsor cricket in this country. I realized there's only probably two of the mentioned sponsors that I even know exist or use. There's something called Sunfoil, which is apparently some kind of cooking oil. Oxygen, which I think is an insurance business. Momentum. I think we should name and shame these companies for supporting a bunch of losers.
And I think I should be able to have my own rant on my own topics.
Sure.
I was in mid-flow about Charles Langeveld, Gareth. This is important stuff.
Do it, Ben.
Thinks he owns the fucking place.
The sport. Cheapers. You're like the security guard who took a shit and see his house. It's just about you.
All right, go on. What do you got for us? Come on.
So he's saying the Proteas management team is the best, is comparable to anything in the world, right? And that Charles Langeveld did a great job upskilling the bowlers. Does this guy not look at stats? Does he not look at what's happening here? We bowled 36 wides in the tournament. The next best was England on 25. Then it goes down to the teens. We are shit at bowling. I mean, we did well against the West Indies. That was one thing. Blind squirrel. Call it what you want. This guy's not upskilling our bowlers. He's just drawing a salary. And all the time, these people just going, yeah, yeah, fair point, okay, fair enough. But they've been saying, yeah, yeah, fair point, fair enough, for the last 10, 15 years. It's just so infuriating. These guys come back and there's this stupid token press conference as they get off the plane. And you know exactly what they're going to say. The same happened with the Springboks when they lost the World Cup. The same happening here. When are we going to break the cycle of mediocrity? Because these guys seem to be totally okay with the fact that they gave their best. It's like he's saying, well, you know, if it wasn't for a couple of moments, we'd still be there. Bullshit. Good teams make those moments, always go for them. And these guys don't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, infuriating. But today, there's actual cricket on the go. England versus New Zealand. Now, that's going to be a fascinating, fascinating encounter. I will tweet a link out to a story I wrote about how New Zealand are actually making T20 cool again, which is quite something because T20, it is a bit of a song and dance, but New Zealand just showing how you can do so much in the game still. So it's going to come down to the fact that you're looking at the best bowlers, the best batsmen. England, they may edge the New Zealanders on batting. If you look at someone like Joe Root, he's averaging 42 in this tournament with a strike rate of 150. Right. He's right there. He's scored 168. Butler as well, just prolific down the order. He's striking at 151, average also over 40. On the New Zealand side of batting, well, Guptill's been their best. He's averaging over 40, strike rate of 162. From there, it's just bits and pieces with the bat. But the big thing here is that Ish Sodhi and Mitch Santner have combined for 17 wickets, whereas England's spin duo of Ali and Rashid only 8 wickets. And the runs per over there, it's just not even in the same ballpark. So New Zealand are going to be a much, much better bowling attack. If they can just come out half good with the bat, they'll probably win this one. And then tomorrow, West Indies versus India, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Big news in the football is that more mediocrity in SA sports. SA 0, Cameroon 0. So with 2 games left to play in the AFCON qualifiers, what have we got? The good old South African mathematical chance. All our teams, it's like, well, we've got a mathematical chance of getting through. Isn't it? It's like every single time we enter a tournament, we'll fuck out terribly, and then it's mathematical chance time.
Gerrit says you should get Russell Domingo on the line and start shouting this at him.
Get real! Get fucking real!
Thank you, Gerrit.
Yeah, we need to claw at that press conference yesterday. So if you look at the AFCON qualifying group with South Africa in it, Cameroon 8, Mauritania 7, and South Africa a lowly 3. So yes, there is a mathematical chance that South Africa still get through. But, I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's like me trying to just explain the offside rule in German to you. It's not going to do anyone any good. Morocco have qualified, though. Egypt have edged ever closer to doing so. But Nigeria, they're also gone. Out. European friendlies, England were brought back to ground with a 1-2 2 lost to Netherlands at home at Wembley. They don't often lose at Wembley, but it's just a showing that the England team isn't that great, so that Germany result maybe don't draw too much into it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Germans, they bounced back after that shock result to England by beating Italy 4-1. Now, they haven't beaten Italy since 1995. This is the enormity of that result there. If you do look at the Euros, that's of course taking place in June 10th. Just a quick look at what the groups are going to be. Now, it's being played in France. So France are in Group A. They've got Albania, Romania, and Switzerland. Group B has got England. Now, England are going to be the top team there, along with Russia, Slovakia, and Wales making up the numbers there. Group C, we've got Germany, Northern Ireland, Poland, and Ukraine. That's quite a tough one. And then Group D, Croatia, Czech Republic, Spain, and Turkey. Probably even tougher. Spain, not the team they used to be, but they're still going to be pretty handy in this tournament. Group E, we've got Belgium, Italy, Republic of Ireland, and Sweden. Now, Belgium, they did play a friendly, or they are playing a friendly, did play a friendly, I don't know. But all the top players are basically out, so not too concerned about that. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be a bloody good team coming the Euros, along with Italy in that group. And then Group F, we've got Austria, Hungary, Iceland, and Portugal. So it's going to be a very exciting and competitive competition, that one, from June the 10th. In South American World Cup qualifiers, Colombia 3-1 over Ecuador. Those two teams pretty much at the top of the pile right now. Argentina and Brazil, there's still some way to go there, but they're not looking overly flash. And finally, guys, just to round up, it is Masters weekend next weekend. So that's the big deal for all the world's golfers. Rory McIlroy has decided to skip the par 3 contest because he feels it's a distraction. It is a bit of like a fun day out with either your girlfriend, wife, small children, that kind of stuff, because they're kind of caddy for you over that par 3 course. But this weekend is the Houston Open.
You're insane.
Well, basically, it's
a little
free labor.
Yeah. It is. And then Gary does a couple of push-ups, and then the crowd love it. And it's the same all every year. So I can totally see why Rory's not playing this. But this weekend is the Houston Open. That's where players generally hook up with a lot of chicks. Generally seen as one of those times you meet your ex-wife.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what that event's known for. Right. And if you win that, you get into the Masters. So it's the last chance for some guys to get into the most exclusive tournament in the world. More on that next week.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. There's the sport. It's time for Anthea Gardner. Here she is.
He worked hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Apparently, Anthea went scuba diving. Money, so and she was very nearly eaten by a shark. I warned you about these dangerous pursuits of yours. I said you should rather stay indoors, safely tucked behind your computer screen, filling us in on what's going on in the market. All these dangerous hobbies of yours have got to stop.
Okay. Yes, sir. Wow. I just get reprimanded.
You did. You are okay. Too important to us to be risking your life.
It was just a little black-tipped reef shark. They're not dangerous.
That's a black-tipped reef shark!
Those bite, Anthea. Don't be fooled. Those do bite.
I know a guy.
I bet they're more scared of me than I am of them.
I know a guy who was eaten by one. All right, now listen. I'm glad you're back safely and you're back in the pound seat. Yesterday was not a great day on the markets, am I right?
No, it wasn't. And in fact, it wasn't a particularly huge day either. We only had $1.3 billion traded. Mm. It was like it just felt like the market was kind of slipping away through the day. I mean, we closed 1% lower, which is not dreadful, but like that's how it feels. You know, there's nothing very exciting going on. Same story with the Rand, also closed, I don't know, 15.40, so a little bit weaker yesterday. I see it's a bit stronger this morning, 15.19, so that's quite nice. But Gareth, it really is proving to be a stock picker's market because Ascendus Healthcare was up over 4%. The share's now up 22% since their last results, last month.
Uh-huh.
Granted, the market is up about 5% in the same period, but at least we've got 17% of outperformance from that share. And then same story with Steinhoff, keeps hitting new highs. The share is, again yesterday, lifetime high. The share's up 37% since the 20th of January.
Now that would have been, I think I got rid of Steinhoff shares last year. I should have held on to those.
Why would you have done that?
I don't know. I think you didn't tell me, so I just made a stupid decision of my own.
Oh, wow. That's a real shame, actually. Oh, dear.
Too little, too late. I'm wondering, though, I don't see huge growth in very many of our shares at the moment. It's a little muted, right?
And it feels expensive. Yeah. So these shares that just keep going up, like Steinhoff, it does feel expensive. And in fact, that could well be the explanation for why resources have rallied so much, because sometimes asset managers and investors look at it like you are now and they go, this market feels expensive, it feels heavy. Now, what looks cheap? Oh, resources look very cheap, right?
Yeah.
And I've certainly missed out on that one. I mean, since the beginning of the year, some of these resource shares have gone up over 100%. Although, I must say, I'm still not convinced about resource shares. I don't know, other than people thinking they're cheap, and they can, as far as I'm concerned, they can stay cheap for a bit longer. I don't know what else is driving them. Last night, Tata Steel, which is the Indian steel company, put out a statement that they couldn't compete with Chinese imports in Europe and that they're putting their UK plant up for sale. So if they don't find a buyer, they're going to have to close this plant. And surely that is, again, an indication of how resources are. There's just not enough demand for the supply that's in the market.
Right.
So I get that kind of Steinhoff looks expensive and you're very tempted to take your profits and run and then buy something that's cheaper, but it's so difficult at the moment. I'm just going to stick with the quality stocks, really I am. I'm not going to try and bottom pick these resources. I've got a bit of resource exposure, but not huge amount.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this point, really, it's a bit of gambling. I mean, I hate to say it, but there's a calculated risk, obviously, in everything. I feel that the market is just subdued at the moment. There's not a lot of very exciting stuff going on.
I agree with you totally. There really is kind of, just as you say, nothing too exciting.
Hmm. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Anyway, I mean, SPAR's quite exciting, though. So SPAR, yesterday after market closed, announced an accelerated book build of 2 billion rand. So remember, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, they announced that they're buying the Switzerland SPAR Switzerland.
Right.
The share closed at 192 rand yesterday, and they raised 2 billion rand after market close. So what they do is they just phone or email asset managers and say, right, we're issuing new shares. How many do you want? At what price do you want them? So this is kind of just a handful of people that already are shareholders. It's a bit annoying because my email came through at 5:39 yesterday when I was about ready to pack up and go, actually. They filled the book, 2 billion rand, 185 rand a share. Wow. So the share will come down a bit this morning because obviously they're issuing new shares. It's getting a bit diluted. But I don't think they have any problem. I really think investors believe that they can pull off this SPAR Switzerland deal. I mean, locally they've done okay. And in the past they've done okay with the SPAR Island, which they purchased a couple of years ago now. So yeah, looks like the market are trusting them.
Okay.
And then I see this morning there's a story on Bloomberg that Nigerian lawmakers are suggesting that the MTN fine gets doubled to $10 billion. Honestly, isn't this just getting silly?
And you know, MTN, I mean, would you touch this with a 10-foot pole with a health inspector on the end?
Good analogy. Certainly not. I mean, I think the share will come off tonight because today. I imagine investors and traders won't be wanting to hold a share that has got this much uncertainty around it. So,
because yesterday we were talking to Martin and he was saying, oh, but you know what? They give really good dividends. But you still got virtually, it's just a valueless share at the moment compared to where it was.
Absolutely. So, exactly. So, I mean, at a $5 billion fine, it's kind of okay because last time I checked, they had about $2 billion in cash on their balance sheet. So they could easily raise debt to cover the $5 billion fine. But wow. A $10 billion fine, I mean, it's just, that's out of proportion.
Unbelievable. And it seems so arbitrary. It looks like the Nigerian government just thumbsuck a number and then decide to multiply it by another number, and then that's the fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess they can get away with it if they want, right?
Yeah. What would happen if MTN just pulled out of Nigeria?
You know, MTN makes up about over 50%. I mean, sorry, Nigeria makes up over 50%. I think it is. Of MTN's revenue. So it's not as simple as just pulling out. But if this continues, then I mean, I'm sure MTN management must be sitting there thinking about it.
Thinking that they would rather make some money in South Africa than lose a whole lot of money in Nigeria.
And it's not like Nigeria is their only footprint. They've got Iran coming online now as well.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple of other countries that they're doing okay in. It's just that Nigeria was kind of their cash cow, if you like, until this happened.
Hey, if I were in charge there, I would absolutely get the hell out.
You call it, eh?
Yeah, I think that that's what they need. They need a CEO who's willing to make those difficult choices.
Yeah.
And to say to people, you know what? Stick with us because we've got a solid business in South Africa. We're growing a solid business in Iran. Forget about Nigeria. We're out.
So Phuthuma Nhleko is now running that business. Well, he's come back into the business. And I think he is quite tough. I think he's got the backbone to call it. So we might see a few announcements coming up.
All right. Let's see what happens there.
And
what
then
else?
No.
What else? You were going to go on?
Lastly, I haven't spoken about Edcon for a while because they're not really listed, so we don't really follow them. But I noticed something very interesting. Their Eurobond, which is a bond denominated in euros, is now trading at 97% yield. So I've explained before that if you're worried about South Africa Inc. getting downgraded, bonds will go to sub-investment grade, yields will spike to over 10%. And 97%, can you imagine what that's saying about the Edcon bond?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So they missed a repayment on the 15th of March. They're now trying to restructure this debt.
Yeah.
In other words, they're going to go to investors or holders of this bond and say, please, can you extend the repayment or we can offer you cents on the euro. I'm not sure how comfortable investors will be with this. I mean, at the moment, it's kind of trading at about 3 cents on the euro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting one because if you bought it and they did repay, you'd double your money, right? So
right.
Because you're getting a yield of 97% basically. But it's almost becoming binary. So either you're going to get nothing or you're going to get a little something back. It's red or black. Not the kind of odds I like, to be honest.
Okay. Exciting. Though for those with a stomach for that kind of thing, that's quite a fun gamble to make.
I would say, yeah. So you've got to decide whether or not the private equity company, and I forget their name, Bain Private Equity, whether or not they're going to be able to turn this around and whether they're going to find the money to repay investors. That's the question.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And we'll check in with Anthea on the Money Shot tomorrow, around about the same time. Mubs, here is a woman who does the weather, and she makes 20 references to Batman and Superman in the weather, and people don't pick up on that.
Oh. Okay.
Well, some people don't. I mean, smart people would hear it and they'd know. But a lot of people, this stuff goes right over their head.
Well, I mean,
you imagine, people who watch the weather, usually old people, they don't really care about Superman and Batman.
Because, I mean, we get our weather from apps and stuff these days.
We do, but there are weather people. You know, they're still on TV. They still have work. Somehow. Here is all you need. You go onto your phone. It's amazing. You don't need any popcorn TV with the weather. I mean, remember we used to actually worry about those things.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you know that in Calgary it is 7 degrees and mostly cloudy?
Sure.
And you know what the best part is? I didn't have to wait for some dude on ENCA to tell me that. How's that? And in Johannesburg right now, 12 degrees and mostly sunny. Isn't that exciting? In Durban, 17 degrees, mostly sunny. Want to hear about Cape Town? Bloemfontein, 13 degrees, mostly sunny. Cape Town, 60 degrees, showers.
Mm.
Isn't this exciting? Don't you want to carry on?
New
York, 6 degrees clear. London, 6 degrees clear. Rome, 11 degrees, mostly cloudy. Sydney, 26 degrees, very sunny. All right, enough of that.
All right.
But you get the basic idea. Here's the woman giving the news, and she makes plenty of references to Batman versus Superman.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. Well, you needed X-ray vision to see through the fog in some parts this morning, even a touch of frost in the small villages. So it's hardly coincidence that temperatures will be lowest in the north and the west. But let's have a look at how things progress this afternoon. Now, sun will struggle to dent the cloud in the north and west, and rain will afflict Northern Ireland and western Scotland. Across England and Wales, well, we'll see almost all sunshine here, with highs of 13 or 14 degrees in Kent. Now, if you're going on a car trip tonight, just be aware aware that things will Gotham bad to worse. Low pressure Gotham. Systems moving in from the Atlantic means that as the dark night rises, well, wind, rain and cloud will be the bane of the West. And low pressure will sadly steal the sunny conditions from us on Saturday afternoon. If you did wonder about Easter Sunday, well, there's no justice as we'll have to face more unsettled conditions. Expect the clouds to be grey, sun in short supply. And once again, we've got lots of scattered showers, some of which will be heavy and thundery. Super.
Oh. Wow, super at the end. That's pretty sharp. How many did you count?
Oh, I wasn't keeping track, but oh, okay. I mean, I heard...
I got like 10. Apparently, she makes 20 or more. Here's your homework. Especially if you download that as a podcast. Go over it again and again and again. See if you can pick up all 20 references. All right? Fun game for you for this morning. Okay. When we come back in a moment or two, we'll check in on the news and we'll take your calls. It's very quiet on the lines today. I don't know what's going on. Maybe people are still in that holiday mood. You can call us on 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. 189. Tell us what you're up to this morning.
Cliffcentral.com.